Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Jim West with Carolina Varsity. We got another radio show tonight. It's going to be called The History of Carolina Varsity and Our Future Path. Welcome to Carolina Varsity Radio tonight. We do have Matt and Dale on the line today. Matt Morrow and Dale Ross, and they're going to be talking a lot about what we've done in the past at Carolina Varsity, and also where we're going to go in the future. So it's going to be a really good show. Again, my name is Jim West, and my Twitter handle is NSHS1989. That's for North Stanley High School, class of 1989. Please check us out. You can go on the Facebook, CarolinaVarsity.com. Check our Facebook page. We also have our YouTube channel, Carolina Varsity. You can always check out our website, CarolinaVarsity.com. A lot of ways to reach out to us. Matt, I got you on the line. Can you say hey to everybody for us?
Good evening, everybody. Matt Morrow, the Pep Man. Twitter handle is at Pep Man CV, PepManCV. Good to have you. Going to take you down memory lane tonight. It's going to be fun to kind of reminisce about where Carolina Varsity was and talk about where we're going in the future.
I echo those remarks, Matt. If anybody can ever check out Matt's YouTube videos, Matt is one of the best when it comes to presentation. I've always enjoyed watching Matt's on YouTube. Dale Ross is also with us. Dale, how are you doing today?
Oh, a bit tired, but doing all right, I guess.
I gotcha.
Been a long day.
I bet so. It's been a long 13 years for you at Carolina Varsity, hasn't it?
Yeah, we started back in 2004. I guess that's what we're going to talk about here is the history. Hopefully we have some of our original members out there listening right now. If you are, we'd love to hear from you. We started Carolina Varsity. Actually, all of us were at a site called NCHSFootball.com, and that site was moving over to actually closing to go to kind of a joint venture with Scout. And I had some people encourage me to start up a site. I was already doing some things with pitchers and had been giving it some thought because of what the future direction was looking like. And I do want to mention a few of those people. I think everybody knows K63 Lane. He was probably one of the bigger pushers for me to do something. He contacted me almost immediately and asking, what could be done. And we had another guy that worked with us for a long time by the name of John Elder. And he was on the site ASU224. They were very, very instrumental in the early stages of Carolina Varsity. We had a lot of members come over. That was a pretty big community that much of it just shifted over. Of course, some of the people were on another rather popular statewide site, NC Preps. And we kind of had a different mission for what we wanted to do and what those guys wanted to see the site be as far as the interaction with each other and the interaction with other users. The bigger thing, or one of the bigger things for Carolina Varsity back then, and it's still a very big thing, was our photography. And, of course, I pictures every Friday night, maybe Monday nights, Thursday nights, games were somewhere on a Saturday. And we picked up a number of people along the way that contributed to the photography of the site. So there was kind of a whole other part of Carolina Varsity going on that I think most of the users that came to the site and interacted with the site through the forums was never aware of, or they were aware of and didn't, you know, pay much attention to it. You got people that want to come talk, and you got a large number of kids and coaches, et cetera, that like to come and see pitchers. And we were pretty heavy in that for, the first 2 years. And I made a platform change to make things better, and ultimately it did make things better. And about that was in 2006. We did lose some users through that platform change. But I think in the end it gave us better forums, which is kind of near and dear to a lot of us. We like to talk about football. And that was one of our early goals, was to try to be a site where people could come talk and not worry about being slammed personally. You see that a lot on the internet. And one of the things you got to keep in mind is in 2004, 2005, 2006, you know, during those early years, Facebook didn't exist, Twitter didn't exist. And we didn't have the big social mediums that we have today. That's kind of taken on and it's really kind of pushing what people like or what sites like what we're doing. It's straining us for what we have the ability to deliver and still keep communities together, because I like to think of us as a community. So we're having to, of course, adopt new ways of doing things and hopefully fall into the, this whole social world a little bit better as our viewership of the forums and such kind of drops and people are moving towards that, that whole world of Facebook. And we kind of, We started dealing in that actually, 6 years ago. I actually started putting a lot of stuff up on Facebook, but I did it through my personal stuff. I didn't create a Carolina Varsity Facebook page early on. I should have, but I didn't. Finally, I got that, that set up, and that was, I'd say early on. Facebook actually was brought us a lot of it actually picked me up a lot of Facebook friends that didn't need to be friends with, you know how that goes. simply because I had all these pictures up and people wanted to see them. Of course, they needed to be friends to see them, and you know that wasn't good because those kids don't want to be friends with an old man. So. It was some funny times because my kids used to kid about why are you friends with such and such? So that kind of helped motivate me to, you know, yeah, that's right, and let's get Carolina Varsity going so that anybody can see, they can come to the site and see the pictures, and now we need to. And we've used it for our news articles, and some people may not know that. We've been writing news articles forever. We've got some good writers. People that have been with me from the start, like Jeff Miller. Jeff's been around, I think, the entire time. If not the entire time, he started within the first year. And Jeff's a good writer, and as you know, he's a walking encyclopedia or a walking memory bank. What a memory
he is! He's also got a good Elvis impersonation. So I won't make anybody cringe by saying that, but
he tries to impersonate a lot of people. But Jeff's a good guy.
But he is. Jeff, he's a really good guy.
I'd say, we were talking the other day about who, you know, who's been around, you know, and how long they've been around. And Jeff has been there a long time. And then we've got Randy Rimlin, He's a photographer. I ran into him at Burns, sitting on the other side of the fence with this equipment better than mine. He was down watching Independence, and so we got Randy involved in things. So Randy's been around for almost the entire time. I think that happened in 2005 or 6. I can't remember now. It's at one of the late scrimmages that Burns in Independence had.
I got you. Now, Dale, when you started Carolina Varsity, what was your mission? What became our mission statement from that to the beginning?
Well, one of the things that kind of motivated me in this whole, we call it a business, but you know, we make no money off of this. But very early, again, taking pictures, I'd always had kids come to me and want to see pictures that they knew where I was at the game. They saw the camera. They were just so excited about wanting to be able to see themselves. And I really thought about that, you know, being a parent that had a son playing and how that made me feel and how obviously that makes those kids' parents feel and how it makes those kids feel to be able to see themselves, you know, even if it's just for a moment. It's kind of that, you know, that whole 15-minute of fame kind of deal, but they get a kick out of it. So that really motivated me to see what I could do to help more kids get that great feeling and more parents to be able to have that feeling. So I wanted to be able to have a place that I could put the pictures and they'd be able to see them. So I had a place, but it was really just for myself, my family. And with the whole thing that happened back in 2004, just kind of married together. And so my motivation, and coaches like to see the stuff too. So it was kind of a motivation to let's see what we can do to let more people experience that. A lot of people in this quote-unquote business get too hung up on, kids going to the next level and what it is about getting a kid to the next level. And quite honestly, not every kid can go to the next level. Not every kid wants to go to the next level, but every kid that's on that team deserves the opportunity, in my opinion, to have that same kind of enjoyment, excitement. So that was really our motivation, and to this day it sticks to that. I want to help enhance everyone's experience.
Right, and I will say that we call this a business. You know, is it a business? It's not a hobby. You know what it is? It's really a labor of love. I mean, none of us would be participating as many hours as we do a week or a day or a month if it wasn't for the love. And we do work. We do work hard on this site. But we do it we just volunteer our time. And I think that's very, we want other people to do the same thing because it really does enhance the high school football experience.
Exactly. It is a labor of love. I do it strictly for the faces that I see, and I do get a little bit of enjoyment in watching kids, you know, succeed, do things, accomplish, meet goals. I actually like watching coaches reach goals and do things well, no matter who they are. So I get a kind of a kick out of watching people succeed, work hard and succeed. Even if they're not winning lots of games, if they're still succeeding, you know, I enjoy that. And I think we all do. So that does drive us. It has to, because we sure aren't making money at it. We're not getting rich at it.
No, we're not. That's, and just let everybody know, some people, for whatever reason, think that this is our day jobs. It's not. This is not a day job. I'm an accountant by trade, and Dale asks, Dale, what would be the best way to describe your job? You got a pretty unique job.
I'm an industrial automation engineer. So my day job is making machinery automated so that we can make a high quality product and lots of it, I guess is the best way to put it. Here lately, I'm focusing on an area called IIoT, which is industrial IoT, and some people may understand what IoT is, but this is allowing data to be easily shared among devices, and different factories can share data to look at it, and that's what I do. And I also teach. I teach automation. For the last 2 days, I had to teach first and second shift guys all in one day. So I did a 16-hour day Tuesday, and I did a 14-hour day yesterday of continuous teaching, which is I'm surprised I still have a voice.
And doing some traveling to Alabama.
Yeah, I was in Jasper, Alabama. I wanted to get back and to be settled this evening. I was kind of hoping I'd get to see my granddaughters this evening, but I didn't. But, yes, I had barbecue for lunch in Birmingham, and, you know, here I am now back in Charlotte.
Right. And that's one thing I always want to point out to everybody. The when it comes to this business that we're in or whatever you want to call it, again, we're not making money, and there are bills to be paid. You know, we do have to pay some bills to keep the site open. So, for example, if anybody ever wants to be a sponsor of Carolina Varsity, by all means, contact Dale, contact me, contact Matt. We'll be glad to talk to you.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, because right now everything comes out of my pocket. I do have some, you know, people, you'll notice Google ads up on the site, and they don't generate a lot. They generate a little, but they certainly don't cover the costs. And I'm talking about just the actual out-of-pocket costs, not, you know, the hours I put in, the hours that Matt puts in or you put in, you know, covers none of that, obviously. And, you know, I don't, it's hard to it's hard to kind of let people know or how to let people know how many hours we all do put in. We put in a lot of hours when, you know, as we went through that evolution, as I was talking back in, 2000 or approximately, I saw a need for video and we started doing videos. And, of course, I've had different people work with me on videos, but the last few years it's been Matt and I doing them. And I can tell you, we spend people just wouldn't know how, maybe if they started watching us last year when I decided to start Facebook Live in our videos, you can kind of see what goes into making them. Matt has to spend all late afternoon into the evening with me. It's a long day just getting those together. Then after we, of course, record them, you have to put time to, into putting them together and getting them up, and there's a lot of work just in that. Spending a all day Friday afternoon and late night and on Saturday getting the videos that we all might be recording at the games and the articles that we write, and there's a lot of time that I know that Matt and I put in. And Matt puts in a whole lot of time.
I agree with you, because a lot of people don't understand. They see our work when it comes to content. There's a lot of administrative work that we do behind the scenes. You know, we talk to each other, communicate with each other. We do a lot of different things. We talk to different posters. We talk to different people that work with us, that collaborate with us, be it correspondents or photographers or whomever. Go ahead, Dale. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's not to take anything away from all the other guys that are contributing, Anthony and And
right.
Of course, Jeff and all the photographers that are out there working hard. You know, Nord Ross is a just an absolute man. He's going to all kinds of sports. If you guys haven't seen his photography, you need to check it out. It's just absolutely wonderful. And then we got the new people coming on that I know they'll be putting in all kinds of hours.
They will. They've got a good group of folks working with us this coming year. I want to bring in Matt Morrow with us. Matt is known as Dale's right-hand man. He goes by Pep Man. Matt, why don't you tell us a little bit, tell us some stories about your early days before Carolina Varsity and during Carolina Varsity.
Man, well, let me tell you. You know, Dale mentioned NCHFFootball.com in, you know, one of his early statements. And that was one of the things that introduced me to the whole message form online type of site. Because there were some good things going on there, and I liked, you know, the good talk. But, you know, there was, you know, some type of talk that, you know, wasn't the best. So I was, you know, glad when Carolina Varsity came about. Actually, the funny thing is I didn't know about Carolina Varsity until one of our assistant coaches when I was at Harding was in the office one day, and he said, Matt, come here and look at this. And I go up to the computer, and, you know, it's Carolina Varsity, and someone had posted that we were going to finish, I think, 6 out of 7 in the conference. And the funny thing was, I told the coach, I said, man, don't get all caught up in what people say, man. Let's just talk with our pads and then go out on the field and play. He was like, no, man, they don't respect us. No. So that's actually how I found Carolina Varsity, because I, you know, NCHS football went away. And, of course, back then I didn't know the whole story behind it and everything. Once that happened, you know, I started, you know, going on there, and it was, you know, good talk about football. It wasn't a lot of junk talk and all that. And it was a good place for people to share their opinions, their observations. And, you know, it was just a good site to talk football. And that's, you know, what it is today and what we continue to aspire to be. There's a lot of coaches. We don't ever give up who posts on the site, but there are coaches that read, and then there are some that post and share their observations, and we're always grateful for that. And that's one of the things that I did. You know, I was reading, and I started posting some things, and especially things that I didn't think were accurate. or try to get the truth out there as much as you possibly could. And, you know, that was really the big thing that, you know, wrapped me into it. And then one day, Dale, you know, sent me a message and said, hey, you know, you're posting a lot of smart things. You know, we kind of got to know each other, and then we met at some Olympic and Harding games, I think early, mid-2000s. And, you know, we talked after the game, and, you know, I told him, I said, you know, if I get out of this, you know, coaching thing one day, I'd love to come join and help you out, because, you know, Dale does all this stuff. Like he said, it takes a lot of time and a lot of passion to do it. And, you know, if you don't know, there's no money in this. This is
not
something
at all.
You do to get, yeah, this is not something you do to get rich. And, you know, Dale's message is all about promoting kids and promoting, you know, the coaches and the hard work they do. And the thing that really cinched it for me was back in, I think it was 2003, I think. We were 5-0, and Harding hadn't been 5-0 in I don't know how long. And we were going into Independence, and they were 5-0 also. And, you know, Channel 3 used to do the game of the week, you know. And back then it wasn't a vote like it is now. They just chose it. So we didn't even get mentioned as game of the week. They chose some game against, I think it was Hunter Huss and East Gaston, and they both were not good. And they pulled that as their game. And that made us mad. And, you know, that was back when Tommy Knotts was blitzing everybody. And, of course, you know, we lost the game. You know, we played well once we got our feet under ourselves. But the main part of it was these kids were really looking for a spotlight and someone to show them a little love and appreciation after, you know, doing so well. And that didn't happen. And inside me, I was like, well, that's not right. You know, every kid, you know, no matter if you are on a good team or if you're on a team that's not doing so well, everyone deserves to be talked about and everyone deserves a little bit of love. And that is one of the big things that drove me to where I am now with Carolina Varsity, and it continues to drive me today. And that's one of the things I love about working with Dale Ross throughout the years. He's never been the type to show favoritism to anyone. You know, he gives every kid, whether they're the star or if they're just, you know, getting in a few plays, he takes pictures of them. He could just focus on the star players and try to sell those and make money, but no, he focuses on everyone. And those kids love those pictures, and those might be the only pictures they have from their playing days. And, you know, he goes out there and gives all his time and sweat equity. And, you know, that really means a lot. And, you know, I try to give back the same thing through different mediums. I know we're going to talk about a little bit later. But those are just a couple of stories. I got so many stories I could share.
You know, I was laughing about when you were talking about picking sixth or seventh in the conference. For those that didn't know, earlier on this month or two ago, I did all kinds of conference predictions. And had one of my friends at in Northeastern North Carolina, a coach, contact me. He said, oh, gosh, you got my football team all riled up. You picked them in whatever place, and I was like, oh gosh, hope I didn't make you too mad. He says, oh no, I appreciated it because you gave me some really good bulletin board material, and he was thanking me for not showing too much faith in his team. And anyway, that's I always enjoy just being part of that experience, just like you, Matt. For those that don't know Matt, he has such a really good enthusiasm, and you really need to check out Matt's YouTube videos because they're really very special. And actually, Matt and Dale's camaraderie on the videos it really comes out really well, especially when it's confession time. Matt, whose idea was that? Your idea for confession, or was that Dale's?
That was one that I came up with. And the thing about confessions was, you know, we wanted to start tackling issues that were presenting themselves, and we wanted to really attack them. And I know some of our confessions were probably some of our most memorable videos. And some weeks we didn't have them because there wasn't too much controversy going on, but the times we did confessions were probably some of my favorites because our passion really came out on some of those topics.
Right. And sometimes you just have to take a stand. Just have to take a stand and say, you know what, this was not right, and this is a good teaching moment for, you know, fans, for players, for coaches, for parents.
Exactly, and I know Dale can speak to some of, you know, some of his thoughts on confessions and how important I think some of those really made an impact on some of those topics that were out there.
I think they did, and, you know, if you remember, we were struggling there a couple of weeks with some things that were going on. It's like we want to say something, and we didn't know what to say or how to do it, and then Matt came and said, we're going to do confessions. let's have a confession session. It's just do it like we're doing a confession. And like, well, you know, that sounds good. Let's see how it goes. And we didn't know if we were going to get shot or, you know, not be allowed back on a football field for doing it. But, you know, once we start talking, it's kind of and. You know, that's the other thing with those about all these videos we do. We did some retakes, but we didn't do many retakes. We would just talk and do and move on to the next thing. So you actually got the way. There's none of it's rehearsed. So,
none at all. Yeah.
Yeah. We might have something happen on a Friday night, and we'd when we get together, it's like, all right, we got something to talk about. And then we just talk. We just confess. So, there was no script. I don't know. I think that and the, there was the time I ate the crow, and then Matt's like, well, let's start doing We Were Wrong. And so we didn't do any of those last year.
People really picked on us for the crow videos, and it got to the point where we get the games and someone would upset somebody and they were like, Pep Man, you're gonna eat some crow next week, aren't you?
That's when you get a chance that the crow is deep fried or broiled or baked or whatever.
I always contacted Bojangles because they make good crow. I let Bojangles do the crow because I like their we like the way they fry stuff.
Good old crow biscuit.
Yeah, that stuff was. I think we need to. We didn't do much confessions last year. We need to be thinking about that this year.
No,
Matt.
We didn't. But I think this year is going to give us plenty of material as always.
Unfortunately, I think so.
Yeah.
I think there's already some material actually brewing right now. So we'll probably have some fun the first few weeks.
You got that right, and I'll tell you what, some of the 3A coaches this year, I think just because of how much talent has gone in from the 4A to 3A and also from the 2A to 3A, you might have some coaches that will have some questionable moments just from the stress of it, because 3A is going to be just huge this coming season, and I'm already trying to anticipate the confession time. I mean, I think some of the coaches would love to do a confession time on the 20-30-30-20 realignment, but I'm not going to touch that one. I like my guys at the North Carolina High School Athletic Association way too well to take on them.
Well, one thing we will not do, because coaches do get into stressful situations, unless they do something that is unethical or fall the fist up and hit a kid or something like that, we're not going to expose them in a confession on that. It would be something that would be, if anything about a coach were to come out, it'd be because of a noted character flaw that was, there, not because of a stressful situation. And we try not to, we try not to bring that kind of negative stuff out anyway. So,
right.
Coaches don't have to worry about that. If they crack under pressure, that's all right. That's to be expected. Just don't do something wrong when you crack.
That's right. Heck, from all my way too early, top 25, that might be a very good confession. I go to the altar and ask for forgiveness on that one.
That's a we were wrong thing, not a confession. See, a confession is when we see something that we know is wrong taking place, and it's eating us inside, and we just got to share it. We got to get it out there because, A, we would like to see it get it corrected. when you pick a team wrong, man, that's there's two things there. That's a we were wrong, and you got to eat crow.
That's right.
That's fine.
So you're going to have to join us in some crow. If you live in by those preseason early picks, you're probably going to be eating some crow.
I need to go ahead and get some of that industrial size crow from those angles. But that's the one thing is, if you don't eat some crow every so often, you're not trying hard enough.
That's right.
That's just the truth about it. Now, since I got both of you on the line, I was going to ask Dale, when it comes to this coming season, or I should say during this off season, was there anything different that you saw with our site, maybe that we were going to look at maybe in the future about doing it? I know we're starting to do more videos, not just the two of you, but other people. There are things that were growing. What would you say is the biggest thing you're looking forward to this coming season, Dale?
Okay, so let's make it clear. It's not that we're doing more videos. It's that Jim is doing more videos. So let's make that part clear there. So one of the things I've, you know, this is going to go back to when the first videos were done, is that I kind of started seeing a drop in maybe some, I'm not sure how to present that, but with the forum stuff and the communications and all that, I started seeing how that was maybe not the best tool to, you know, to bring forward, because written doesn't always show the true expressions, and thus things that you say can be misinterpreted, and it's kind of hard to misinterpret when you can see somebody's face and their body language, and especially if they're talking to somebody. So definitely, I think video is, I saw a need for it. Thankfully, we were rough early on, and I'm talking about before Matt got involved in the videos, because I think since Matt's been involved, one, I had a little, I guess, a decent understanding of what we needed to do, and Matt just, it just works real well with Matt. So I think that what we're doing there, I'm hopeful that we will have more people doing it, because, you know, Matt and I can talk Mecklenburg County and the surrounding counties real well, but to talk about the other parts of the state who also deserve the same kind of attention. One guy can't do it, two guys can't do it. It's just impossible.
It's a community.
We can try, but exactly. So we need other people. So the things that I'm looking for us is to be able to have more of that available, more of that kind of content. We'd like to have more coaches sharing what they're doing, because I think most coaches that are out there, you'd like to say 100%, but we know it's not 100%, but most of the coaches out there are doing awesome jobs. Put their records aside, they're doing awesome jobs. They are giving a large part of their life away from their families to coach football and to help mentor these young men and make them better people, so that us older people will have good young people in society to help keep us going. And I'd like for them to be able to share their story. So we need more people helping with that. And I think, you know, we're trying to put a focus on the Facebook page, because everything's moving to social media. So we're going to work hard to get more of this content up there.
I'll go ahead and mention, we're Carolina Varsity, we'll have a lot of content to all high school students in North Carolina. We would
like for you possibly to maybe contact your coach or a teacher or somebody, tell them that you are going to want to enter in this Carolina Varsity writing contest. And what we want you to do is promote your team, your high school football team or your area or whatever you feel like it. I'd love to build up some team spirits, and we will be awarding some prizes to people who help us out during the season by giving us some premium content. And that kind of goes with what Dale was just saying, that we want the younger generation to step up, because some of us old folks, you know, we're going to get, you know, broken down, we're going to get tired, and sometimes we're not going to be able to, you know, do it all the time. So this is a community, and we want to go ahead and start bringing some of the young kids in. Dale, you have any thoughts about
the
contest?
Yeah, so along that, this is, and I told you about this, not the contest, but my goal, and Matt's heard this many times about wanting to get kids involved. And I've talked to various schools in the past. This year I will have some involvement from the schools, and by that I mean the high school kids out of the high school and the schools supporting it. I would love to see that from every school, but I'm also going to talk to I'm going to do a nice little interview, and I need to do it next week. It looks like I don't have to travel next week, and with a pretty well-known writer and I'm going to talk to him about seeing if I can't wedge him into maybe judging, helping judge these kids' writing. This just to speak to it, we'd like to have any of them in. You know, anybody that wants to get involved in it, let us know. My thoughts are you don't have to write about. We talk a lot about football, but thankfully some other shooters or photographers are shooting a lot of other sports. It's perfectly okay to talk about tennis or volleyball or wrestling or baseball or softball. That's fine. You can write about that stuff. It's also okay to write about what the band is doing on Friday night. It's all about the experience. It's everybody's experience. And if we can get more kids doing this, it may give other kids more pride in their school. And I think if they have more pride in their school, they will want to go to school. And maybe they'll do better in school. So that's kind of what drives me, is getting kids motivated to want to go to school. So,
right.
I think the contest is a wonderful idea. It was your idea. It marries exactly with what I think we've talked about we want to have happen.
I want to do things where we can get, just like you said, get kids to write. You know, one of my favorite topics, and Dale, you'll appreciate this, because for those who don't know, Dale Ross could probably tell you, you can blindfold Dale and probably take him to some type of barbecue restaurant, and he can tell you the sauces, the quality of food, and over the barbecue and everything. He's a barbecue connoisseur. Great. I was impressed the time I went with you over the Hillsborough Barbecue Company. One of my favorite topics, and I would love for someone to write about it, is tailgating. You know, right before the game, where do people go for food?
Right.
That's one of my favorite topics right there. That's, you know, don't go to a fast food place necessarily, but maybe go to a little hole in the wall somewhere. And, you know, stuff like that I would love to hear about.
You know what?
It's
funny you mentioned that, and I'm sorry. I thought you'd stop. One of our posters, you know, so on Friday nights after the games, I go to Wing King, and Matt comes a lot, thankfully, and I hope Matt joins me a lot this year at Wing King. But and some of our posters have come, and some of them have kind of become friends. And one of them, he didn't do it last year, but at the end of the previous season, and I'm talking about 2005, he was talking about he and a buddy, because he had brought a buddy with him, and Hookem may be out there listening, I don't know. But he had talked about they were going to start writing about stadium food, going to different stadiums and writing about the food experience when they go to a high school football game on Friday night. So the tailgating is great. That would be a good one, too.
You got that right. For those who have any question about where the best food in the state, you have to go to Greensboro to Dudley High School. The boys down there, they make the best fish. I think it's a perch, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's intoxicating because you can smell it from the sidelines. And
Matt,
that's where you're like, gosh, it's great.
So, Matt, what about Harding and West Charlotte and the fish and all?
Man, you know, CMS has changed their policies about that kind of thing. But before they did, my Lord.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember they made a deal with us at Harding one year that every time we won a home game, everyone would get free fish after the game. And I think that was one of our better home seasons that year. We had a lot of good fish after those games, man. I tell you, I know Dudley's good. I've heard about it, but nothing can beat West Side fried fish on a Friday night. I tell you.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I can tell you I enjoyed some of it.
You know what? You know, right now I'm thinking about going down to Nevin to go to Huey's to get some seafood. This is making me hungry right here. Get some good old flounder. now, Matt, I wanted to ask you from your experience working with Carolina Varsity. During the games, how much fun is it to interact with the fans and the kids and the players for you?
You know, I'll tell you this, man. It's a lot of fun. It's funny because a lot of the players and coaches, they watch. And, you know, if you get there early enough, they come and talk to you, especially the coaches. They'll say, you know, I like what you said this week. Or some of them will say, you know, you were wrong this week. And, you know, that interaction is always good to have. And, you know, I haven't been out of the game too long, so there were guys that I coached against, still coaching, of course, guys I coached with, still coaching also, and it's always good to see those guys interact. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. You know, fans, they come up and introduce themselves, and they say, you know, they appreciate, you know, all the videos and coverage their school gets. They say no one else talks about them, and, you know, at least you guys care, and, you know, you take the time to really look at the game, and, you know, and they appreciate the site. You know, they appreciate coming and reading without all the other, you know, garbage and nonsense you get on, you know, in other places on the internet. So, it's really fun. I really enjoy that interaction. But I will share this. One time, back when I was making predictions, I predicted a certain school to win, and I went on the other team's sideline in the first half. And I tell you, they were so motivated, and every time they scored a touchdown, they would come at me, and the players were talking junk, and the coaches were shooting me looks. And, you know, I was there with my buddy Brandon, who helps me, and he was like, man, we got to get off this sideline at halftime. So they just got to a 28-0 lead, and we left the sideline, and they were like, yeah, going over to the losing team sideline, yeah.
Matt, it was last year, and I'm sure you get this stuff. We had talked about a particular team and maybe what one of their shortcomings might be. It was defense, and so I was at the game that week that they were playing, and, oh, man, the parents, you know, afterwards they were like, come over here. And then they started telling me, said, you really still think that about our defense now, huh? I guess we showed you.
I'll tell you, the funniest experience I had was a couple of years ago. I was over at Bartlett-Yancey High School over in Yanceyville. And I was getting some food before the game. And all of a sudden, this guy, he touches my hand. He had his biggest hands I've ever seen. He puts it right on my shoulder and says, hey, boy. And I turned around, and the guy was like a 6'7" version of Lyle Alzado. And those who don't remember Lyle wasn't always he never really made people look all that comfortable. And this guy didn't either. And I was like, yes, sir. And he says, are you Jim West? And I'm like, am I Jim West? I can't remember. Am I? Yes, I am. And the guy says, I appreciate that nice write-up you did about Coach Weathers, but he is a good fellow. And he just walked away. And I was like, oh, gosh, I'm glad I didn't get killed or anything like that, because you just never know who you're going to offend or anything. But I was happy. And the guy just walked away. He's probably thinking, probably scared the bejesus out of him. So we all have moments like that. So, well, we have about 11 minutes left in the show. If anybody wants to call in and ask Matt or Bill a question regarding this season or about Carolina Varsity or where we're going to go in the future or where to go to eat if you're in Charlotte at 10:30 at night, give us a call at 646-787-1917. Again, that's 646-787-1917. Guys, let me ask you a couple of questions. Matt, I know that you were talking about expanding your horizons a little bit, maybe going outside to the greater Mecklenburg area. Where are some places you're thinking about going to this year?
Well, we always try to get one or two games in Rock Hill at District 3. That's a nice place, and, of course, you know how much they love football down there. So we always try to pick a game or two to go down there, usually about week four, week five, when a lot of Charlotte schools are on a bye week before conference play starts. So I'll try to get down there. We'll try to go up to Iredell County with the IMET conference. You know, Lake Norman was gracious. I went up there last year. I'll try to go up there again. I've been invited to Mooresville several times with the great Mooresville fans that we have on our site that support that team. I want to get there this season. And, you know, we have a great guy in Tim Winters in Union County that does a good job down there with his site, and he, you know, helps out with us from time to time. But I'd like to get to a Union County game and also to private schools here in Charlotte and in the surrounding area. So there's a lot of places I want to get to. And, you know, there's only so many weeks in the season and everything, but, you know, we're going to try to branch out and hit those places, especially the privates. And Iredell County, for sure, are big, two big places I want to get to this year a lot more.
Now, Matt or Dale, are either one of you thinking about going to the Mallard Creek Scotland game on Thursday, the 17th?
We're both talking about it. It's going to depend on if I'm teaching class next week. I'll be there. Matt, you said you were going to go. You still going?
Yeah, you know. It's funny, I just got my time approved from the job. I'm taking a half day, and I will go down there, barring any emergency situation.
Right. So if I'm not up in Tennessee next Thursday, I'm certainly going to be there. There won't be any. So we're going to be busy Thursday, Friday, and then a full load of games on Saturday.
That's right. We've got, three games at Memorial.
Yep, that's right. It'll be five games that week.
That's going to be a full day.
Yeah.
It is. Let's talk about stadiums now. I know that you're familiar with Mecklenburg County. There's two stadiums I love in North Carolina, and they are totally different. The first one's over in Dudley High School. Their stadium is state of the art. It's beautiful. It's, I imagine, it holds 15,000 people easily. Great visitor site. Place is immaculate. It's just as clean as can be. And my second favorite, or my co-favorite, would be over in Warsaw, over at James Keenan. And you're talking about a school that's usually a 1A. Now they're going to be a 2A school. And the atmosphere is totally different from Dudley to James Keenan, but they're both incredibly great football fans. James Keenan is wild. I saw them play with against Wallace Rose Hill back in 2015 in a non-conference game, and there was probably 4,000 people at that game. And you're talking about a school, Wallace Rose Hill, at the time was about 740, 730 or so, and James Keenan was about the same size. Had 4,000 people, and when the game was played, he didn't have anybody in the concourses running around. Everybody was watching the game. Matt, if you had to pick a couple places in the state, North Carolina, that you've been to, what are your best experiences when it comes to fans or stadiums?
For fans, and I'm going to go back to my playing days on this. When we played in the South Piedmont 3A, for some reason. And, you know,
that's
back
right.
Then,
back in the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Going to A.L. Brown, you know, was something special. The way they supported their team with the cannon and the big flashing K and all that was a nice place to go to. Of course, you go to Richmond County. I went there as a coach in the playoffs. They talked about Raider Magic, and, you know, back then they were, you know, still on top of the world. Still pretty good now, but, you know, back then it was just something special, especially with their team entrance and everything. It was magical. And I'll give you one that a lot of people may not be aware of, and that's Davie County. We went up there
yes.
in the playoffs, and I tell you, it looked just like, you know, Clemson. You know, the orange and white, and, you know, the fans lining the field, and they had the motorcycles coming out to bring the guys out on the field. And, of course, our players, they never seen nothing like that in their lives. So, those, Yeah,
those places.
Yeah, those places really stick out in my mind, for sure.
Now, how about you, Dale? What were some of the best atmospheres when it comes to high school football for you?
Yeah, so when I say these, I'm not saying one is the best and the others are not as good, but there's a lot of them. I think Richmond is just that whole atmosphere and the just everything that's going on there. That's a fantastic place. I think from an overall, from pregame to fan involvement to the end of the game, Porter Ridge, and it has to be a Porter Ridge and Sun Valley game, I guess. That is a fantastic experience. AC Reynolds, they've got a great facility. It's one of those environments, you know, where the football field's down below. I really like that. If you've ever been to Alexander Central, that's a place that, again, it's got it that you got the guys in the motorcycles that come out. It adds a whole other element to the excitement, but the atmosphere is phenomenal. Kannapolis, if you can get a Kannapolis Concord game, is just that is a fantastic experience. Now, more so, I think, at Kannapolis than at Concord. Now, the Concord's done so much
in their
stadium, so maybe pretty nice facility there. But yeah, there's a lot of places around that present to us great atmospheres. Most of those atmospheres, unfortunately, are outside of Mecklenburg County because of the whole the whole involvement of the community. But there's a lot of good stuff over. Monroe's got a fantastic facility. If you've not been there, their stadium that they play at is, it's very nice.
Last time I was in Monroe, their mascot was the Rebel, so that kind of dates me a little bit. By the last time I was in Monroe, I think they changed that in the mid '90s. If I remember right, to the Red Hawks, but we got a little over 10 minutes.
Yeah, the best place. That was Memorial Stadium, Charlotte Memorial Stadium. We've seen some big games there from Garner Harding to Independence Butler to Independence Richmond. We're talking 15 to 20,000 people and just a great atmosphere and a fantastic stadium before the one side of the press boxes and that whole level just dropped down. But anyway, go ahead.
I've got a minute and a half left. I just wanted to say one thing. I'm going to go ahead and close out the show in just a little bit. But one thing I've noticed in Charlotte, I've always thought that I wish they would change. I would like to see the games be played a little bit later. I know to me the 7 o'clock games are maybe a little bit of a hard thing for mom and dad to get to in Charlotte traffic. And same thing up where I live. I live in the Triangle area. While Hillsboro doesn't have quite as much traffic as Raleigh or Durham does, it can still be hard for mom and dad to get off work, get home, change clothes, try to find a place to park. And next thing you know, when you get there, it's about 7:10 or so.
It's not going to change. Yeah. They used to be the same as the rest of the state. Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department advised after some issues at games that games start at 7, and I don't think they'll ever change.
Yes, and
the times for security.
Right. There's definitely security always trumps anything else. So I think this has been a very interesting show, to say the least. Dale, Matt, thank you so much for participating on the Carolina Varsity radio show with the history of Carolina Varsity and our future paths. For me, Jim West, Matt Morrow, and Dale Ross, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll catch you on the next show. Take care.